Kick-Ass Decks, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Kick-Ass Vets Podcast. This is Dr. Ann, as always, with Kick-Ass Vets. Today, we are going to talk about the value of your lunch break. So this is part one of a two-part series, and this part is going to talk about the why of the importance of your lunch break. So why is it so important to take your lunch break? In the vet world, it's unfortunately all too common to skip your lunch. There are lots of bosses that unfortunately are completely unsupportive of their staff taking their lunch break. When staff ask about it, they laugh at them and say, "This is veterinary medicine. What did you expect? We don't get lunch breaks." There are a lot of bosses and managers that do want to support taking the lunch break, but the clinic is just not set up in a way where that happens. And as a result, people just work through their lunch break. And also the personalities and the types of people in the veterinary industry lead to not taking their lunch break. And we'll talk about more of that in part two. But this part, we're going to talk about why it's so important that you actually do take your lunch break, and from different aspects: the mental value of it, the value for our patients, the value for our business, and also the financial aspect of your lunch break and what you're giving up when you work through your lunch break. Before we start, we have to first talk about what a true lunch break looks like, because not all lunch breaks are created equally. You know, a lunch break is not when you grab some food and then you sit down at your desk and you type up notes while you shove food in your mouth. It's not kind of sitting around having a stitch and bitch. It's really important to have a complete mental and physical disengagement from work in order to have a true lunch break. So you need to be able to switch off. You need to be able to get away from the work environment. You need to mentally be able to not think about work. So the best lunch breaks are going to be when you actually leave the clinic, or when you do something that switches you off into a different mindset, whether that's read a book, have a nap, you know, watch something, do some yoga, do a workout. Anything that you can do to disconnect is going to be better. And they've done studies looking at the differences between kind of different types of meditation and something called progressive muscle relaxation, where you do these kind of exercises where you're constantly flexing and relaxing your muscles. Those types of meditation activities help you mentally disengage, and they've been shown to be way more effective than kind of the small talk type of break that you often see, where people kind of go to the lunchroom all together and then they talk about work, they talk about that jerk client, they talk about their boss, they talk about whatever. That's not really disconnecting from the work environment. So if you can leave the clinic, if you can have your lunch break independently from other people, if you can really disengage, that lunch break is going to be much more effective than anything else. And kind of sitting down at your computer, doing work, doing callbacks while you're shoving food in your mouth is not a lunch break. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the mental value of your lunch break. And realistically, the benefits are absolutely massive in terms of what it brings to you to actually just sit down for even if it's not half an hour. Sitting down for 10, 15 minutes and disconnecting makes a huge difference. It improves your sleep quality, which is absolutely massively important for every aspect of your life. It decreases your stress. It increases your productivity, your creativity, your motivation, and it increases your ability to respond to clients' needs and talk to clients and handle them. It's protective against burnout. And it also has many, many benefits to your physical health. You know, less illness, less disease, better eating, more active. All of those things are going to be benefited if you take a lunch break. So if you can just stop for a minute and take a break, you're going to be a much happier, much more productive employee, but you're also going to have better mental health, and you're going to have protection, some level of protection against burnout and compassion fatigue. And those clients aren't going to get to you as much. Those patients that are just barking, or, you know, maybe they're being a bit aggressive, you know, when you get to the end of the day and you get a little bit irritable, you're going to have some protection of that if you've taken a lunch break. And it's not just important in terms of your mental ability, but it's important for your ability to make decisions. And I have a whole webinar on decision fatigue, but taking a break is one of the most protective things you can do against decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is the fact that your ability to make decisions throughout the day decreases with each subsequent decision that you have to make. And if you take a break, you kind of reset your ability to make decisions. So it's really important for that, you know, efficiency and productivity and your quality of medicine to take a break. And that'll lead into chatting about the patient value of taking your break. So that's why it's really, really important to do that. Also, you know, just as I mentioned before, it improves your sleep. Sleep is absolutely magical. It's vitally important to so many aspects of your life. Getting a good night's sleep is imperative for mental health. It's imperative for your physical health. It's imperative for your relationships, for your satisfaction of work. So if you can do something where you can sit down for 30 minutes during the day and that's going to improve your sleep, that is massively, massively worth it. So really, mentally, it's obvious that a lunch break needs to happen. And remember, managers and bosses need lunch breaks too. Just because you're in a position of power control doesn't mean that you're immune to needing these breaks. And this is something I think a lot of managers, you know, don't recognize, is that their ability to manage other people is going to deteriorate throughout the day if they don't take a break. Their ability to deal with clients, their ability to deal with complications that come up are going to decrease throughout the day. So managers and bosses need to make sure that they're taking a lunch break as well, because they need it mentally just as much as their staff do. The next part that we're going to chat about is the patient value of your lunch break. We're in this industry because we love animals, we love our patients, and we really want what's best for them. We really want to provide good quality medicine. We want them to get better. We don't want to mess up because we don't want them to be hurt. We don't want them to, you know, endure any tiny amount of pain or suffering that they don't have to. We also don't want to be sued, and we don't want to deal with client complaints. So even if the animal isn't suffering, but we've done a bad clip job because we were in a rush or whatever, we just don't want to deal with complaints. And you can decrease the rate of all of these things by just taking your lunch break. And the reason why is, once again, that decision fatigue. When you have, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you have a certain amount of energy and amount of willpower to make decisions. And every decision you make throughout the day kind of eats away at that a little bit. And the longer you are between having a break, sitting down, getting some food, the worse your ability to make decisions becomes. And that's definitely included in our medical decisions for our patients. And it's included in our decisions on how we communicate with clients. And that leads to, you know, worse compliance when we're not communicating properly, which means that we don't get patient care because our clients don't let us do what their animal needs to be done. So realistically, you're going to be a much better vet, a much better nurse, a much better professional if you can better communicate and better think and make better decisions about your patients. And all of those require you to be mentally on form, which means that you need to take your lunch break. So even if you won't take your lunch break for yourself, do it for those little critters that you made an oath to protect and care for when you graduated school. The next part we're going to talk about is the business value of your lunch break. So, you know, a lot of business owners might be thinking, well, if my staff are going to work through lunch breaks, why wouldn't I take them up on that? I get an extra half an hour of free work per day. What's the difference? If they pay for your lunch break, you know, some bosses will even say, well, I'm paying you through this, therefore I own you during that time and you have to work. The reality is there are tons and tons of reasons why bosses and managers should be enforcing that their staff take lunch breaks from a strictly financial standpoint. Even if you don't actually care about your staff, which hopefully you do, but even say the only motivation you have is your bottom line, it pays to have your staff take their lunch breaks. Studies show over and over again that people that don't have their lunch breaks make mistakes, they rework ideas, they have lost productivity and time, they're less efficient, they're less creative, not to mention the fact that they're more irritable, they're going to complain more often, you're going to have worse communication with clients, which is going to lead to more complaints, worse compliance, less interventions, which means less billing, And you're going to have a poor work environment, which leads to higher turnover, which is a massive, massive financial strain on clinics. So it's really important for businesses to recognize that getting staff to take lunch breaks is good for business. A study in 2011 estimated that in the UK per day, businesses are losing £50 million due to the consequences of staff not taking lunch breaks. It is a huge financial loss for clinics to not enforce that their staff take lunch breaks. So once again, if you're a manager or boss and you don't give a shit about your staff and you only care about money, it pays for you to get them to take a lunch break. The next thing we're going to chat about is the financial value of your break. So this is for all the staff out there that says, oh, well, I should just work through, got to be a team player, all of that stuff. First of all, it's not selfish to take your lunch break. It's vitally important in order for you to provide the best medicine. So you're not doing anyone any favors by working through them. But also, you're working for free. Your lunch break, whether it is paid or unpaid, you have to check your independent countries and legislation, but everywhere I've looked up, whether it's paid or unpaid, you are entitled to 30 minutes of non-working time. And that means that you can't be on call, you can't be answering phones, you can't be answering questions. You need to be able to leave the building and completely disconnect for that 30 minutes. If you don't do that and you work 5 days a week, that's 2.5 hours a week. That's 130 hours a year that you're working for free. That equates to 3.25 weeks a year vacation. Wouldn't you rather have another 3 weeks vacation a year? You know, if you're forced to work through lunch, at least you should have more time off. That's a huge amount of time. That's 3 weeks of vacation. If you look at it per month, you're looking at kind of an extra day and a bit per month. How much would you like an extra long weekend per month off? Or 6%, 6 to 6.5% of your salary. And so you'd be looking at a 6 to 6.5% rate. All of these things sound pretty good. All of these things, those are the equivalent of what you're giving away for free to your boss when you work through it. The most important thing, of course, is your sanity. So I'm not saying that you should push to get these things and work through your lunch break, but if you're going to be in a clinic that's going to work through your lunch break no matter what, you should at least make sure you're getting compensated in one form or another, either with a raise, extra days off, or more vacation time, or anything else that you want to negotiate. But really, you shouldn't be working for free, and working through your lunch break every day is a huge financial hit that you're taking for absolutely no reason that you didn't sign up for. So that's what we cover in part one of the blog. I'm going to go into part two of the blog and just make this one podcast here. And the second part is a little bit longer. It's about how to take your lunch break. Because, you know, you can say all you want, yes, go take your lunch break, but unless you have systems in place, then it's not actually going to happen. And the first part of any challenge or any hurdle or any change that you want to make, so if you're in a clinic, nobody's taking their lunch breaks and you want to change that, the first part of making a change is to address and identify the barriers that are preventing the solution in the first place. So you need to figure out in your clinic why your lunch breaks aren't being taken. And in the vet industry, there are tons of reasons. There's tons of barriers and challenges in place given the nature of the field. So I'm going to go through some of the more common barriers that might be present in your clinic. The first is, you know, obvious: work overload. There's massive understaffing issues at most clinics because there's a huge recruitment crisis in the veterinary industry. And essentially, the majority of clinics are constantly looking for staff and they suffer from chronic understaffing. So that means that usually there's more work than there are staff in the building. Even in clinics where they're desperately trying to staff appropriately, they're having trouble filling those shifts. And in, you know, with this COVID pandemic, every single person is at home. They're buying puppies, they're buying kittens, and they are coming into the clinic. So the clinics are absolutely slammed. We're absolutely busy. We're definitely, business has gone up for a lot of veterinary clinics, not down. And the fact that because of the COVID measures, the contactless consults, the masks, having to explain things to people, getting them to sign in and check in, it's just more work. So every little task is taking more staff. So with COVID, that understaffing has just been kind of blown out of proportion. So the overwork and overload right now in clinics is massive. And it's not sustainable. So it's something that we really need to address. We need to address the workload and we need to make it manageable and sustainable long term. And whether that means that you put less consults in or you refer walk-ins to emergencies or those types of things, you need to create a strategy. The other big thing that's really, really common in the veterinary industry is we, as a group, and managers and bosses, I think, are pushing this, are really accommodating of walk-in appointments. And in a way it's good because emergencies happen and animals don't show that they're sick until they're later. So it's not like a human where, you know, they know early on in their disease. We have to be more aggressive when we're treating animals because they hide their disease situations for so long. So getting walk-in appointments seen is important, and definitely seeing emergencies is important. But a lot of companies and a lot of clinics will look at their pet owners as customers and not as clients. And I've got a whole blog on that and why that is such a vital difference in mentality. But basically, they do anything they can to make the customer happy. And that often means that they're telling them, oh yeah, pop in on your lunch, we'll see you right away. Or yeah, we'll fit you in, even though that's been a chronic thing and it's not something that's emergent. So fitting in these walk-in appointments when you're already double or triple booked is just adding to that overload. And because we've done it for so long, we've trained our clients to expect it. And if we don't do it, then they get mad. And I think a lot of business owners are afraid of losing revenue and losing clients and dealing with them being angry because they couldn't get into the clinic. And you know, it's frustrating because part of that is true. Working emergency all the time, it'll be 10 p.m. on a Sunday night and clients will come into the door and they'll say in the consult, "Can you believe my clinic's closed right now? I had to come see you." And it's insane. And I just say to them, of course they're closed. It's 10 p.m. on a Sunday and they're open at 8 a.m. They need to sleep. That's why we're here. They're so angry that their clinics aren't open 24/7 for them, even though they only, like, they're a GP clinic. So realistically, we have definitely trained clients that we will bend over backwards for them. So we need to retrain clients that they can't just walk in and get seen at a moment's notice, because that's just not feasible. Either that, or you need to staff appropriately and schedule so that one of your vets is available for walk-ins to see those appointments and have those gaps in your schedule, which a lot of clinics don't. They think, oh, it's the exception. Emergencies don't happen that often. But especially now with COVID and with everything else that's going on, it's really, really common for us to have just these massive numbers of walk-ins and emergencies and that sort of stuff. So that's something that's really important to pay attention to in your clinic, is how you deal with these walk-ins. And, you know, do you have appointment slots for walk-ins? Do you have appointment slots for emergencies? And are you scheduling appropriately for it? The next big thing that's a huge hurdle, and it's a huge hurdle for managers that are really trying to do the right thing and trying to get their staff to take lunch breaks, is the personalities in the veterinary profession. Look, we're an 80% female-dominated profession, and the vast majority of us are type A people that suffer from superhero syndrome, and it's really hard for us to say no. Also, women have been shown to be much less likely to do actions and perform actions and behaviors that are perceived by themselves as only beneficial to them. And that's what lunch breaks are looked at in the vet profession right now. It's kind of selfish to take a lunch break. That's kind of the feel. You're not a team player if you're not working through lunch. You know, we need to rewrite this narrative, because the personality types in the field are just so prone to not stop and just to continue to push and push and give because they perceive taking a lunch break as selfish. The other problem is that, you know, not just in the vet industry, but huge surveys across multiple boards show that 20% of people are worried that they're going to be perceived as lazy for taking a lunch break. And that same study showed that 22% of bosses felt that employees that took regular lunch breaks weren't as hardworking. So there is, you know, an issue where the bosses are sending this message that if you take a lunch break, you're not hardworking. 13% of people are worried their coworkers are going to judge them. And I bet you that's higher in the veterinary profession because we have type A personalities, because we have superhero syndrome. And 38% didn't feel encouraged to take a break. So it's really important to understand that the personalities of both the management and the staff, and probably even more particularly the staff, make it harder to take lunch breaks. And we have to take some responsibility on ourselves as staff and employees to recognize our own failings and our own faults of not taking our breaks and rewrite the narrative in our minds that lunch breaks are not selfish. They are vital for us to perform effectively and efficiently and to make good decisions for our patients. The next big hurdle that we have, which is really, really common, are a disconnect between management's expectations and what's realistically able to happen, and also mixed messages that management give different members of the team. So the first part of that is the management's expectations. And sometimes you have managers and bosses and, you know, they have the greatest intentions. They really want you to take their lunch break, and they go and they say, yes, I want you to take their lunch break, and I want you to take a break, but then they also expect you to be able to see every single walk-in, and they expect you to be able to do double appointments and do all of those callbacks and check the pathology reports and get out on time. And it's just not realistic. Their expectations of what you can accomplish in an hour just do not line up with the reality, especially with COVID, when everybody doesn't have anywhere else to go. So going to the vet is their outing for the week, and they just want to talk forever. Also, as the quality and the availability of services in veterinary medicine are increasing, that 10-minute consult is just not realistic anymore. You cannot have a conversation about, you know, with a new client with a 12-year-old dog that's PUPD in 10 or 15 minutes. These things take longer. There's more available services and products and interventions that can happen for our patients. And owners want more, and they want more information, and they have questions because they've looked things up online. They are coming in a more knowledgeable, but not necessarily helpful knowledgeable, because they have half information because they've Googled half of it. So they have all these questions and ideas, and it just takes way longer to have those conversations than it did 20 years ago. So a lot of times, especially when the clinic owners are older, they're used to clients that come in, they say, okay, you do this, this, and this. It takes 5 minutes. The clients just respect them and trust them automatically. And they don't have to go through 1,000 different options that are available for their patients and for the pets, because they didn't exist then. And they also don't have to answer the 1,000 different questions about these kind of half understandings that clients had, because the internet didn't exist then. So it takes longer to do everything. And therefore, a lot of times bosses and managers just don't understand that what they expect to happen in a day just can't happen. The other big thing is mixed messages to different teams. You know, you'll often have managers telling staff, yes, yes, take your lunch break, but then they are also telling reception, oh yeah, just schedule that walk-in at the beginning of lunch. They can just see that really quickly. Or, you know, yeah, it's fine to add in that double appointment in that callback slot. You know, it's really difficult, because then you've got the poor reception team that's going to the vet that's on their break saying, hey, do you mind seeing this appointment? Mrs. Jones is here, and she's kind of pissed because she was told that she could be fit in on her lunch break and she's got to get back to work. It's not the receptionist's fault that the manager approved it or told them to book that in. It's not the vet's fault for, you know, trying to take their lunch break. And one of two things happens. Either the vet, who doesn't want the receptionist to get more slack from the owner and wants to be a team player, stops their lunch break and works through it, Or they tell the receptionist no, and you create this divide between your team where then the receptionist is mad at the vet and the vet's mad at the receptionist and they both feel they're not doing their job properly. Neither of these situations are ideal. So it's really, really important for managers to understand that they need to provide consistent and clear messages and strict rules that are followed to every member of the team and not tell vets, yes, you have to take your lunch break, and then tell reception or nurses, yep, schedule those in the callback slots or schedule them in the lunch breaks. The next big thing is scheduling. Obviously, this is a huge issue, and some of the aspects we talked about before kind of touch on scheduling, but this is probably one of the biggest challenges for clinics and biggest problems for clinics leading to missed lunches. If you're scheduled back-to-back with appointments and the appointment isn't long enough to do the workup that you need to do, and as we chatted, you know, the clients are expecting more these days, then you're not going to be able to get the work done in time. If you're not having consistency in your schedules, if you don't have a member of staff that's scheduled to see that emergency or those walk-ins while the other staff are on lunch break so that there's someone there to kind of manage those cases and then hand each other off. If you're not scheduling callback times and, you know, you should always have a little break before lunch and a break before the end of the day so that you have time to write stuff up so you can actually then sit down and have your lunch without trying to kind of catch up from the rest of the morning or the rest of the day. All of these things are really, really important to focus on, and it's something that clinics, I think, try to do with the best intention a lot of times. You'll see them in the slots, but then as people call, they just get filled up. So it's really important with the scheduling, as we mentioned before, to have clear-cut rules. You do not put appointments in callback slots. You do not put appointments in record-writing slots. You do not put appointments in lunch breaks. And you need to properly prepare and schedule for walk-ins and for emergencies because they're not the exception anymore. They are the norm. So we need to be accounting for that. Another huge issue, and you know, I get why this is a huge issue, is that staff work through lunch because if they don't, the consequence to them is they just stay late at the end of the day. If they take half an hour now, they feel that they're just then going to be half an hour late at the end of the day. And part of it is true. Part of it is that if they take lunch, then everything else and all the other schedules get behind and the consults run late and people are more pissed off and it just becomes an issue. But one thing that staff do need to understand is that when they take their lunch break, their efficiency and productivity is going to be better after a break. So yes, there is that component, and clinics and managers do need to account for that, but staff also need to recognize that unless they stop and take a break, their productivity is going to drop and they're not going to be able to get through the afternoon as fast. They're in fact going to be slower, and probably slower than an extra half an hour. So it's important to think about that. The next big thing is kind of who's responsible for making sure staff take breaks. And I did a poll on Instagram for this, and about 70% of respondents said that it was managers' responsibility that staff took breaks, and about 30% said it was the staff's responsibility. But the reality is, it's both. It's a team effort. The staff and the employees really need to be actually taking their break and taking personal responsibility that they'll say, okay, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go and eat, and they need to not try to do work in that time and make sure they're disconnecting. So whether they're leaving the building, reading a book, that sort of thing. But managers and bosses and owners need to create systems, whether that's through the scheduling, through the staffing, through having appropriate spaces for lunch break, and we'll talk about that in a second, so that the staff can actually disconnect and can have an appropriate lunch break. So you need to all be on the same page in order for that to happen. So it's everybody's responsibility. So managers, I know lots of the managers have responded to my Instagram posts over the month that we kind of chatted about this. And a lot of their questions were, how do I actually get my staff to take their breaks? I'm trying to get them to take their breaks and they just won't go and take it. And I get it. Sometimes it can be like herding cats. And it's multifactorial. There's lots that you can do to try to encourage that they take their breaks. The first thing is the lunchroom environment. if you don't have a designated lunchroom that is separate from work, then you're not going to be able to have your staff disconnect. So if you can make the lunchroom a calm, resting, quiet place, that's going to be really important. You need to make sure there's no computers, there's no phones. Ideally, there's not a direct sight line to the work. So whether that's, you know, a set of curtains or whether it's around the corner, it's really important to kind of make that lunch space a place where people can feel calm. And the studies show that the best type of lunchrooms are those that kind of mimic the feel of a cafe, because people feel really calm and relaxed and they go to cafe to just kind of decompress and relax. So if you can create your lunchroom so that it has a bit of that cafe feel, you know, some soft music, that sort of stuff, that's going to be really important. Also, having a quiet area in your lunchroom where there's either noise-canceling headphones where people can disconnect, or kind of a corner where if someone's sitting on that couch, that's the quiet zone they don't want to be talked to, so that if other staff come in and, you know, maybe they're a really chatty staff and your other staff member just doesn't want to talk to anyone, but they don't want to be rude, if they're sitting on that couch, that's just an outward sign of I need some me time, and have that quiet zone. That can be really, really helpful as well. The other big thing is individualizing breaks. So schedule so that different staff members have lunch at different staggering times, so that you ideally only have one or two people in the lunch break at a time. Not everybody's going in. That is going to promote more of a disconnect than if everybody's going in and then just kind of small talk, talking about the cases, talking about work, where they're not disconnecting. And also, if you individualize the breaks, people are way more likely to go for a walk, go to a cafe, because then they're not kind of missing out on that social time. If you do want to have lunch break all at once, so some clinics, the strategy is that they just turn off the phones for half an hour. They all have lunch break together and the clinic brings in a yoga instructor, or they all go for a walk together, or they really actively do something that is a disconnect. But that requires a little bit more coordination and a team that's then not going to chat about work, which is harder to do. The next big thing is have a do not disturb rule. If somebody is on lunch, they are not disturbed for any reason unless something is critically dying and needs their attention. It doesn't matter that Mrs. Smith has called 5 times because she wants her results. It doesn't matter that there's an itchy ear that's here. It doesn't matter that Mrs. Jones has shown up for her appointment 20 minutes early and she's just wondering if she can be seen because she has to, you know, go pick up a pie. Unless that patient is dying, that person is gone. They're disappeared. And you just pretend like they're out of the building. How many times do you go to businesses and they just say, sorry, that person's on lunch? And it's okay for other professions to be on lunch. It should be okay for us to be on lunch. So really having a do not disturb rule is going to be really important. Having systems in place where, you know, you have a message bank where if there's any messages, they can be written down so that the nurses or reception don't feel like they're going to forget things and not pass the message along, so that the vets or other nurses can get those messages when they're done their break. One thing that some clinics will do, especially as a temporary kind of habit breaking or new habit forming system, is they will have a forced off-premise lunch strategy. So when people have their lunch, they literally have to leave the building. They say, okay, you're on lunch, you need to leave for half an hour. Whether you go sit in your car, go to a park, drive home, do whatever, you can't be in the clinic. And that's really trying to force better behavior and better habits from staff so that they can really be forced to disconnect and forced to create that habit of, yes, I take a lunch break. Another thing you can do is create a break challenge, where you have staff record how often they're taking breaks and whether it's, you know, everybody that hits a target of taking their break 80% of the time or whatever number you want, or, you know, having a pool. However you do it, create a fun challenge between the staff so that you're collectively all trying to take breaks. And education. Education is always the answer. Discuss the benefits with your staff of taking a break and discuss the fact that as business managers, it is important for the staff to take breaks for their patients. try to help them change their mindset of selfish. It's not selfish to take breaks, but it's important to take breaks. And also discuss strategies. Don't just say, you know, it's really important for you to take your break, so we want you to take your break. Really discuss what strategies you're going to put in place and how they're going to be enforced so you're all on the same team, so that you're really showing your staff, we actually care about this. We're not just saying buzzwords. And lead by example. Take your own damn break, managers. If you're not taking breaks, your staff are going to feel stressed and scared about taking breaks because they're going to feel that they're perceived as being lazy or not hardworking. And also, you need your break just as much. So if you can go and take your break and say, hey, I'm going on break, I'm going to sit down and eat for 20 minutes, A, you're going to be better at dealing with it, but other people are going to feel much more comfortable. And the last point is a little bit of a weird one because it does kind of go against some of against the whole message. But autonomy is really important to people. Having a sense of autonomy and control is really important and empowering for people. So most people are really going to need their lunch break kind of in the middle of the day, but you're going to have some staff where that just doesn't work, especially if it's a shift work situation and people's sleep and patterns just kind of don't work that way. So sometimes you're going to need to work with staff. So if it means that they can leave half an hour early, if they work through their lunch, that works for some people. Some people take multiple little breaks instead of bigger breaks. If you have staff that really just aren't kind of coping with the take 30 minutes in the middle of the shift, then talk to them and create strategies so that they are having that time to disconnect, so that they are kind of on the top of their game throughout their shift. And they're getting the mental break they need, but maybe in a different way. So that's important as well. This next section is if you're a staff or employee and you're not getting your breaks, and how to kind of talk to your boss and your manager. So kind of the other side of the coin. The last section was for managers trying to get their staff to take breaks. So these are some tips and tricks of if you're a staff member, how to ensure that you're actually getting your break. And a lot of bosses do want you to take your break, but they just, every day is the exception. Every day, oh, we couldn't go today because there was this walk-in. Oh, we couldn't, you know, Mrs. Smith came in today, or this surgery ran long today. And it's not that they mean to make you skip your lunch. They just don't really know what to do. And remember, they're overwhelmed. They're overworked, they're stressed out as well, and they're probably not taking a break. So when you go into kind of this conversation with your boss and your manager about taking your break, try to go in with an open mind and not with kind of anger and defensiveness of they don't want me to take their break. And yes, there are going to be some bosses and owners that do not support it. They're going to call it reasonable overtime. They're going to say there's no lunch breaks in veterinary medicine. Get used to it. They're going to judge you. Some might try to dock your pay. Some might, you know, do some vindictive things. Unfortunately, you can't put it past some owners and managers to do that kind of stuff, especially because, you know, they might have worked in kind of a different world from the vet world that we're in today in terms of clients. And also they might have worked through their lunch breaks, but they own the clinic and they had the benefit of it. When you're an employee, you have a different level of motivation and drive and desire and risk versus reward than if you own a business. And that's a reality of life. When you own a business, you're going to make sacrifices that you're not willing to make as an employee. And that's fair because you're not getting the benefits of the increased salary increase income if you work through that lunch, right? So it's really important to understand that there are differences. But I think the majority of bosses and managers do want you to take your lunch. And so when you go in and you try to solve this problem, try to remember that and go into the conversation with, you know, an open mind and a non-judgmental frame of mind and a state. So obviously the first thing you need to do is actually meet with your manager and boss. So set up a meeting and talk to them about why you need your lunch break. Talk to them about the benefits. Show them that taking a lunch break is going to be good for them financially and why that's so important. And go into the meeting with solutions. You know, they're burnt out, they're overwhelmed. The last thing they want to do is come up with more. And is it your job? No, but sometimes when you want to get things done, you just need to put in a little bit of extra work. So if you can sit down and first analyze, okay, in this clinic, what are the barriers preventing people from getting lunch breaks? And then meet with your boss and say, hey, it's really important we take our lunch breaks for these reasons. And these are the complications of why we're not getting our lunch break. And these are the solutions that I've come up with. Can we implement them? And if they say yes, great. Then you have a team meeting, you put the systems in place, and hopefully everybody gets their lunch break. Some of them are just going to say no. And, you know, it sucks. And some of them are just going to say, this is what you signed up for. Some of them are going to say, well, you have a paid lunch, therefore you should be working through it. As we mentioned before, your lunch break, whether it's paid or not paid, is time off. So that's kind of, that's BS. Don't let them get away with that. It's not reasonable overtime to work through lunch break every day, because reasonable overtime is just that, overtime. If you're doing it every day, it's not overtime. So that whole argument is completely ridiculous as well. So if your boss says no to lunch, there's a few things you can do. Say you really like working in the clinic and you just realize that you're going to work through your lunch break no matter what. But you don't want to work for free, renegotiate your contract. Say, fine, if that's the case, at least I'm going to be paid for it. At least I'm not going to work for free. It's not ideal. It's better to have your sanity. But if it's a matter of, you know, you need to stay in this job, talk to them about then getting time off, you know, whether it's more vacation time to compensate so that you have mental time down throughout the year, whether it's an extra day off, whether it's a raise, whatever it is, renegotiate your contract. The other option is when your lunch break comes around, just leave. Walk out of the building for 30 minutes and push the envelope. You know, it's check your country and your legalities that you're not going to kind of get in trouble. And yeah, it might cause some tension in the clinic, but if you really need to push come to shove, do it, then just leave the building. The other thing is find a new job that supports lunch breaks. If you're working in a clinic that is constantly overworking you, not paying you for your services, and has no interest in improving the work environment, then maybe it's time to find a new job and find a clinic that does support their staff and does want a positive work environment, because that's what we need. We need staff pushing for a better work environment, because only when we all start to push, then those are the clinics that are going to thrive, and that's how we're going to change the culture. One important note, if you are going to talk about renegotiating your contract, in most places, your lunch break is not considered worked hours. So you have to really look at whether or not you're actually, even if they think they're not paying you for your lunch break, whether you are. So if you're scheduled for a 40-hour week, for example, and that's what your contract says, and you're scheduled from 9 to 5, that's 40 hours. So if you're working through that, you're actually being paid for all of the hours that you're working. With a 40-hour week and half an hour lunch, you're actually agreeing to 8.5-hour days. So just be careful, and I've put a little bit more of a description about this and kind of some traps. If your boss is really going to be vindictive, you got to be careful, because you might run into trouble. So check out the blog on that one. And if you're considering renegotiating your contract and you're just not quite sure and you need a little extra help, I'm happy to chat with you about that through the consulting services. So you can check that out. But really make sure that you check, how many hours am I working? And that's including, you know, staying late, that sort of stuff. How many hours am I being paid for? And if I renegotiate and then they say, you know, okay, well then we're going to do this, but you're not going to have paid lunches, well, that's going to change your compensation per hour. Or if, you know, some clinics might say, well, we used to pay you through lunch, and now if we're not, then they're going to decrease your salary by a percent. You know, the last thing you want to do is go into a meeting and then come out either working more hours for the same money or being paid less for what you're doing already. So just be careful, because there are some traps there. The terminology and the legalities behind it get a little bit messy. So just be really careful. So now let's say your boss isn't being a jerk and they are supportive of you, of your lunch break, but they're just not doing what needs to happen to support it. So they're not changing the schedule. They're not kind of being proactive. What can you do? So once again, just leave the clinic. So if they're saying, yes, you can take your lunch break, when your lunch break comes, leave the clinic and turn off your phone. And that's going to enforce that you actually get a break. And, you know, at the beginning, you might seem like a little bit of a jerk to the other staff, but really start to encourage them to do it as well. Creating a wave takes energy, but once it's created, it propagates. So be that agent of change. Try to create that wave in your clinic where people take their breaks. Educate your coworkers on why it's so important to take breaks and really support them when they're trying to take a break. You know, maybe collectively talk about revamping the lunchroom. Try to be that person that does the little things that you can within the clinic to get other people to take their breaks. And maybe collectively as a staff, if you all kind of start doing it, then reception won't put those walk-in appointments, even when, you know, management's saying, oh yeah, you can do it. Maybe they'll talk Mrs. Jones into coming another day or something like that. The last thing we're going to chat about is emergency veterinary staff. Obviously, emergency clinics are different from GP because you can't call Mrs. Smith and say, hey, can you have Fluffy hit by a car at 1:30 instead of 1 because our vet's on lunch? You know, that's just not a reality. So breaks are still incredibly important for those in emergency, if not arguably more so, because our brains have to be ready for really complex cases at a moment's notice with no preparation. And yes, GPC emergency as well, but in emergency, that's what we see all day long. So you really need your brain to be on and fresh, and you need to know your stuff, and you need to be on top of your game. So it's really important for you to not be suffering from decision fatigue or hypoglycemia or uremia because you haven't peed in 14 hours. But there, it is going to look a little bit different. So it's something where you really do want to take your breaks, but you can do it in ways that are more helpful than others. First of all, in clinics, the scheduling of how the staff turnover works and overlap is going to be really important in terms of helping to make sure people get breaks. So that's something you can talk to your bosses about. But having staff staggering their start times, that allows, you know, if new staff come in, then the staff that have already been on the floor for 5 or 6 hours can then go take a break, and they know that the work is taken over by the new staff. That's going to be really helpful. Also, it's really important in the vet world, especially emergency, to keep in mind the 10-80-10 rule. So 10% of the time you're going to be understaffed, 80% of the time you're going to be appropriately staffed, and 10% of the time you're going to be overstaffed. It's impossible and not financially feasible for clinics to staff for that 10% of the time when it's ridiculously busy every day. It's just they're not going to be able to afford that and have a functioning clinic. So you need to just understand that there are going to be some days where you are going to be busy and it's going to be a challenge, but that should be offset by that other 10% of days where you're overstaffed, but 80% of the time you should be okay. So really 90% of your days, you should be getting your breaks and you should have manageable workload. You know, in emergency, the work is never done because you just don't know what's going to come in. So the next big thing after scheduling is that emergency vets and nurses need to recognize that in order to take a break, at some point they just have to stop because the work's never going to be done. So you need to just say, okay, I've been working for 5 or 6 hours, my brain's not functioning as well, I'm just going to stop and take a break, and then you're going to be much more productive afterwards, and you're probably going to make that time back in the long run anyways. So it's important to recognize that you are going to just have to stop at some point, even though the work's not done. The other big thing is to prioritize. Whenever I do a shift, I always make a list of all of my patients in hospital, and I do all of the important things first for their cases. So, you know, the critical cases obviously get assessed first. I make sure all of their charts are done, try to call the owners so that they're not calling back 1,000 times. But the things that can wait a little bit, like getting their final records written up or filling meds if they're going home later, writing discharges if they're going home later, you know, it's prioritizing so that when you've done all of those critical things and you're 4 to 5 hours into your shift, you feel okay stopping and taking a break because you know that nothing that needs to be done right now is, you know, all of those things are done. You know that everything else that you need to do can wait for a little bit. So really prioritizing in terms of the task order that you do things and making sure that you do the most important tasks that are critical for the patients first is going to give you a better peace of mind to stop later when you need a bit of a break. The next big thing in emergency, never, ever, ever procrastinate. You know, even if it's manageable or the Q word, which I'm not going to jinx anyone, you know, don't sit around and chat or gossip or goof around just because you only have a few things to do. Get it done and then chat and goof around. You know, it's obviously you can have lots of fun, but we all know that in 1 second you can go from a very manageable day to a hit by car and a GDV and a C-section all walking in a span of half an hour, and or, you know, just a client that takes the next 3 hours of your life. Things can change in a moment, so never procrastinate and always kind of get stuff done, you know, with taking a break. The next big thing that's going to be really, really important for emergency clinics is to be strategic. So, you know, it's not really helpful if you know that there's every day, you know, say it's a Saturday and the GPs close around 2 to 3. So, you know, you get a rush between 3 and 4 and then you choose to take your lunch break at 3:30. That's not really being a team player because you're taking your lunch break at the busiest time. If you know that there's a rush between 3 and 4, try to get your lunch break done before then. Try to take it at 2, or conversely, if you know that staff are coming in to relieve you or the next kind of shift is starting in an hour or so, be strategic about when you take your breaks so that there is time and there is that support so that the clinic function and flow continues to work. And that also includes being supportive of one another. So be understanding of other people needing to take their break, get them to take their break, say, okay, I'll take over these treatments for a bit for you. You go take your break. Or here, I'll see that consult. You take your break and then I'll go after. So those types of things are going to be really important in the vet world. And the last thing is more of just my personal opinion, but in emergency, I would always, always recommend to work for a clinic that has paid lunch breaks. The reality is, in emergency, it's very uncommon that you can leave the building for your lunch break, and it depends if you're working nights versus days. Obviously, at night, you're way less likely to be able to leave the building, but if you can't leave the building, it's not a lunch break. And the last thing you want to do after a busy shift is not get paid for half an hour of that shift. And I think for me, it's a big mental thing. I just want to be paid for the hours I'm at work. So it's really important to have paid lunch. And if you don't have paid lunches, then adjust your salary or your hourly rate to compensate so that you feel that you're paid for that. So for example, say you feel your appropriate rate for emergency, say you're a locum, and you feel your appropriate rate is $100 an hour, and you're going to work a 12-hour shift. So in your mind, you should be paid $1,200 for that shift of work. And if the clinic doesn't pay for lunches, then you're only going to get paid $1,150 for that shift, which, once again, it seems like it's, you know, picking at straws, but it adds up in the long run. And those days when it's really busy, you really want to be paid for that half an hour. So what I recommend doing in that circumstance is doing the math and then increasing your hourly rate to compensate. So a lot of times, you know, the way that the clinic is structured, whether they pay for lunches or not, isn't really malleable. So then what I simply do is I say, okay, well, if you're not going to pay for lunches, then my rate is $105 an hour. When you multiply that by 11.5, it works out to $1,207.50 for the shift. So then I'm making that $1,200 overall. And I think that's really, really important, especially for locums. And anytime you're going into a job, make sure you ask whether or not they pay for lunches, because that's something that very commonly people don't pay attention to. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a difference of 5 to 6%, even up to 7% of your yearly salary, which is a huge amount of money, at least for me it is. So it's important to pay attention to that. And you can see my webinar on contract review and kind of look at the little nuances there that you wouldn't think about when you're going over your contract, but asking about whether or not lunches are paid is going to be an important part of that. So in summary, lunch breaks are vitally important for your mental health, vitally important for your patient care. It's good for businesses to encourage lunch breaks. It's everybody's responsibility to make sure that lunch breaks happen. Lunch breaks need to be taken in ways that you can have a mental and physical disengagement from work. And there are a lot of barriers and challenges in the veterinary industry to get lunch breaks, but fortunately they're things that can be addressed as long as everyone's on the same team. And we've chatted about a lot of strategies in terms of how to effectively try to get those lunch breaks and how to make sure that they're taken and supported and that kind of stuff. And then some strategies from the emergency team perspective in how to get your lunch break. So hopefully overall that is giving you a good overview of why you should be really trying to push for your break and start kind of reframing. I think if you take nothing else out of this, it's a reframing of your thought that lunch breaks and taking lunch breaks is not a selfish act. It's vitally important for you to function as a professional. We have a really hard job. We have to think really hard. You know, nurses, you are so hardworking and you have so much patient care that you need to do. And we rely on you so much in terms of picking up those little nuances and changes. And we need your brain on for that. Vets, you have to make really hard decisions. You have really critical cases in patients that aren't telling you what's wrong. Our job is really hard and we need our brains functioning. So it's vitally important for you to function as a vet, as a nurse, as a receptionist to deal with clients all day. So lunch breaks are really important and it's not a selfish act. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you listening and taking the time to do that. And as always, advocate for yourself because you're the only one that will. And we will see you next time. Thank you so much.